And welcome to the Tuesday edition of NHL Live. It's Don LaGreca and special guest EJ Raddick. EJ, how are you?
Donnie, I'm good. We got a big show.
Yeah, we got a lot of things going on.
We got a lot of things going on today. You've lined up a lot of guests.
I lined up?
You've lined them up. You and Louis have lined up a lot of guests today.
Louis,
Greg,
Brian,
were you in on that?
Oh, listen.
Quite a lot.
You were in on it too, huh? You guys have really
quite
worked.
Quite a lot there, EJ.
You've Mom's worked. Right. You guys are really working in like
what
a trio.
And what were you doing?
I was watching a little TV. Cable guy was
listen,
on this
morning. A lot of
Jim Carrey movie.
I like that
funny.
Movie. Dark
good
comedy.
Movie. Yeah.
You can't put a guest list like this together with just one person.
Need three.
So Louis Pellegrino was doing it. Greg Baldinger was doing it. Brian Monzo from afar. He had a little bit of a family thing today. Couldn't make
How's
it in.
How's he doing? Is he all right?
Oh, he's fine. Everything's
okay,
great.
Okay.
Just a little dental work needs to be done within
okay,
the family.
Okay.
And that's all I'm all at liberty to say at this point. He's fine, but he was working the phones to get it done. We've got a lot of
Thank
guests.
Thank you, Brian.
Jack O'Callaghan's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, part of that 80 Olympic team.
Wow.
31 years ago today. That won that gold medal. We'll talk to Kevin Allen, Blake Wheeler, Matt Molson, Terry Pegula, new owner of the Buffalo Sabres, introduced just a couple of hours ago. Joe Nieuwendyk, Ken Holland, and Brian Engblom to promote the Versus game tonight between two teams going in completely opposite directions. Dallas going down, Devils going up. So
yeah.
Talk to him about that.
Fire and ice.
You know, a lot of places to start. Great game last night on Versus. The Penguins and the Caps, and Ovechkin gets what proved to be the game-winning goal and a 1-0 win.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's the way the Capitals play this year, right? Everything is 1-0, 2-1 all of a sudden. I mean, it's a bizarro world. It used to be the Capitals would play these kind of shootouts and wide-open games, and this year everything is close. They're not scoring nearly as many goals, but they're playing pretty good defense. And I guess it was Michael Nuvair who played very well in goal. And, good win. It's funny, though. The game itself, I mean, we had so much over the weekend, right? The Hockey Day in America.
Yeah.
We had the Heritage Classic. And then you have the Penguins and Capitals, and it was lined up perfectly. It was the only game of the night. Versus had it, so I'm sure they're probably going to get a pretty good number for that. But it just goes to show you when guys are out of the lineup, and this is how important these players are and how much we value them. Crosby, Malkin not playing. There wasn't quite the buzz as there normally is for a Penguins-Capitals game. So, it was a little bit different. But the Capitals don't care. They'll take the points.
Yeah.
And, the Penguins, they just made the trade yesterday after we were off. You saw there was a rumored deal of Goligoski going to Dallas for James Neal. It ended up being James Neal and Matt Niskanen. I think it's a great deal for the Penguins because I think Matt Niskanen is a pretty good player, too. I don't think he's that much far off from Goligoski. He's in a third pair situation. He'll be in Pittsburgh. So I think that's good. James Neal is a really good player. When they get healthy and get those centers back in the lineup, he's going to be one of those young, fast guys who can score goals that'll fit in really nice with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Dallas gets Alex Goligoski, who will get a chance to be kind of the number one offensive playmaker from the back end. And he was kind of number three in Pittsburgh, I guess, when you think about the guys they've had there, Letang and Gonchar and Paul Martin now. So he gets that opportunity, and Dallas saves about $2.5 million in cap space and real dollars going forward. So we'll see what this means in terms of, their dealings with Brad Richards and some other things down the road.
Matt Molson, his second career hat trick to help the
yes.
Islanders beat the Panthers 5-1. And, they kind of got lost in the shuffle because of the way the Devils are playing.
Why
the
aren't
Islanders
we talking about an Islander run?
You're right. I mean, they're only a point back
of the Devils.
And if you're saying, well, hey, the Devils are making this unbelievable run.
Well, then you got to count the Islanders in, too.
Why not? They're only a point back.
The drive for five.
And they're trying to get there. They're still.
The car's been stalled.
11 points
for
back.
For many years, but they're getting it in gear.
You know what? They are getting in a gear, 11 points back. And, we didn't get to talk about it yesterday because it was jam-packed with everything that happened over the weekend. But, what did you think of the comments that Terry Murray had after his Kings team lost to the Islanders 3-0 on Saturday about, I'm paraphrasing, but, the Islanders, they're relaxed. They've got nothing to play for. We're battling for a playoff spot. We're tight. They're loose. And, just that overall vibe. And I guess the Islanders took some exception to that. The exception part is, hey, we've got stuff to play for, too. We're not mathematically eliminated. You've got a coach, Capuano, who's trying to get that interim tag taken off. So they seemed a little disappointed with the idea that they've got nothing to play for.
Well, first things first, I would say this. When coaches or players talk after the game, you got to remember it's in the heat of the battle. I'm sure Terry Murray is sitting there after the game, and he's probably stewing. He's going on to Long Island. They're finishing up the eastern part of that road trip. They finish up their last road game of this 10-game swing in Anaheim. I don't know if it's tonight, tomorrow. I have to look at the schedule. I think it's tomorrow. Anyway, he's stewing over this loss, not happy with the way his team's played. And, you know, he's you got to work that in. You got to factor that into when, you know, what he's talking about there. I think he has – his point is simply that, hey, the Islanders are – the reality is they are playing a lot looser than the LA mm-hmm. Kings right now. The Kings do every single point, every single shift is dire in those teams in the Western Conference. The Islanders, yeah, they want to continue to play well. They want to win, but they can be a little bit more relaxed. So I think that there is something to what he said, but he might have been a little harsh in his comments. But, again, it's after the game.
Yeah.
Stewing, not happy, and not happy with the way his team played. And, you know, so that all works into it. So I think that's one of those things. And I think the Islanders should just be happy. If they're getting people irritated at them, you know, they should be happy about that. And I'll say this. You know, we've had all these Islander fans. They call us throughout the year. You know, what's going to happen with our team? And we're worried. And, you know, rightfully so. But some of these young guys are coming along, and they're starting to make a difference now. So, you know, I think I said it at the time. You got to be patient. That's the way it is with young teams and young players. Maybe some of these young guys are going to be even better than you think. Who knows? Mm. But be happy right now. Six out of seven, they've won. They've been scoring goals. And Al Montoya, they picked him up for a six-round pick. He's come in and played a couple of good games now. So so we'll see what happens on Long Island. But good for them. They're in Toronto tonight to play the Leafs, and that's another game. You know, hey, if they really want to make a magical run and be playing for something, beat the Leafs tonight in Toronto.
And Los Angeles should be happy as well. That was game 9 of a 10-game road trip, and that was the first time they had lost in regulation. They had a few losses in the shootout.
5-0-3 going into that one. So 5-1-3 in the first 9. So pretty good.
Yeah, they'll take it. Bob McKenzie has just tweeted, our NHL radio insider from TSN, that Calgary's Nicholas Hagman has cleared waivers. Mm-hmm. So that little bit of news.
Money. Nobody wants to take on money. I think he's got a $3 million deal. I think he's got another year after this one. So money.
And the Blackhawks beat the Blues 5-3. So you have a bunch of teams between 7 and 11 all tied up there with 68 points battling for playoff position.
7-11 teams.
It's hard to believe. Certain things happen that show your age, EJ. And, you know, this is one of those times. February 22nd comes along and you – celebrate the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. 31 years ago today, Jack O'Callaghan skated around with Team USA celebrating a gold medal victory and, you know, the process of beating the Russians and going on and winning that gold medal against Finland. And Jack O'Callaghan joins us here on NHL Live. Jack, it's Don LaGreca and EJ Raddick. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. Pretty good.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to jump in with us today on such a it's always a great anniversary for those of us here in you know, hockey fans in the U.S. and those of us old enough to have seen it. I just saw a clip of it the other day again on Hockey Day in America, just a brief clip, and right away I get the chills again. I mean, that was such an unbelievable you know, run you guys had 31 years ago, culminating 31 years ago today. I guess today was the Russian victory.
Okay,
so
yes.
Culminating in the 24th, but does it ever get old for you thinking about it, talking about it? Because it doesn't for me.
No, it never really gets old talking about it or thinking about it. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been 31 years. It flies by, as you know. And the nice thing about it, when they came out with that movie 4 or 5 years ago, it sort of re-energized a whole younger generation of hockey players that, you know, in their mind now, we're frozen at 22 years old. So when I meet these young kids and they find out who I am, they look at me and they say, wait, you're not Jack O'Callaghan. Jack O'Callaghan is 22 with long, curly hair. So it's kind of neat that we're frozen in time somewhat and that there's a memory of it now in that video format. And, you know, it's just been great. We get a lot of chances to talk about it, a lot of letters in the mail every day, and it's been a great experience.
Jack, how often, whether it's a fan or a player, will come up to you and discuss about what happened 31 years ago and say, that's what got me into hockey. That's what made me put on skates. That's what made me join a team. That's what really got me started in the sport. How often does that happen?
Well, it happens. I don't know how often it happens. People come up to me a lot and talk about it. I'm not sure if it's always that's why they started playing hockey. It's different things. It's how I connected with my father, how I – you know, I was a young kid, and you know, my dad used to tell me about this and that, about the World War II or whatever, and I never really could connect them. This is something we really shared, and it's just all kinds of different stories, and many of them are not hockey related. Many of them are just family related, or socially related, or or life related. You know, I saw what you guys could do. I was at a downtown time in my life, and I realized that if I really pay attention and et cetera, I can achieve anything. It's from the whole gamut, and every story is unique, and every story is always much appreciated.
You know what, Jack, too, you mentioned a great point there about younger people coming up to you and the fact that with that movie, the Miracle movie, where you're frozen in time there at 22, which would be a wonderful thing for all of us, really. it hit me as well because, you know, I'm kind of in your age area there, right? So, for me, I grew up with it. I just think everybody has seen it. Everybody lived it, and everybody didn't. And so for you, when that movie came out, you must have been – a lot of young people must have been coming up to you. It must be a whole reawakening of kind of that whole experience again.
It's fantastic. You're absolutely right. It has totally sort of energized this whole younger generation. Kids watch it all the time. I was with a friend of mine the other day, Reggie Kerr, actually, who I played together. We played together on the Blackhawks, and his wife's daughter is a track and field athlete here at a local high school in Chicago. And I ran into them in a restaurant, and Maggie had just come from a track and field event. She said, "Mr. O'Callaghan, one of the girls on our team before the event, before the meet started, got up and she did Herb's speech from the before the Russian game. We all got so excited, we went out and we killed everybody." So there's funny stories like that all the time. People that weren't even alive when it happened, they saw the movie, they got wrapped into it. I think Disney did a great job, and Gavin O'Connor's, you know, a tremendous director. He really brought the hockey feel to that movie, and people love it. And it's the younger crowd talks about the movie. The older crowd, like you guys, we talk about what it was really like when we were part of it. So it's just been, like I said, it's been a great 31 years, and everybody's still alive and kicking and doing pretty well. So that's all good too.
And the other thing that always comes up on HBO quite often is the documentary that they did, which I think is just as fascinating. And you know, you get to see that a little bit more because that's getting repeated, and you were involved in that. I mean, how is it to watch the actual footage and look back at all the different things that were involved in that documentary that, I guess, what was that, about 01, I think, that's when that came, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably back around that time. And the documentary was great. And, again, HBO hadn't ever done a one-hour documentary on anything, and they came to us and wanted to do it. They assembled a ton of footage, and they talked to all sorts of different people that were involved in either as fans or as far as the production crowd, and assembled a whole slew of sort of material, which eventually led to the movie. But the documentary was great. It was funny. I was, Brian Hyland, who was the producer, came to my house and interviewed me for 3.5 or 4 hours. And in the discussion and talking and everything, I start getting a little emotional talking about something, and I had to take a moment. And Brian looked at me and said, "What is it with this sports story?" He said, "Everybody I talk to, halfway through the discussion, people start filling up and getting emotional about it." And I said, "I don't know, man. It's not like I'm trying to do it on purpose." But it was a very emotional time for all of us, back in the U.S., back in that time. And just the way we came together as a team. And then, 20 years later, we were talking about it, and whether it was Jim Lampley or Craig Patrick or any number of guys, there was a lot of emotion there. And maybe that's why this event has really stood sort of the test of time as far as capturing the imagination of so many people in so many generations. Like I said, we've been fortunate. We are fortunate that we were part of it. We are fortunate that we can share it and discuss it and talk to people about it. And it never gets old, believe me. It's a lot more fun being reminded of something positive that happened than it is about something negative.
Jack, is there any way for you to put into words 31 years later what it was like in that little hockey rink in Lake Placid on that on that early evening after as the clock was counting down and Al Michaels, I guess, was ready to say the famous phrase, "Do you believe in miracles?" Is there any way for you to put it into words what it was like for you and your teammates in that building in that moment?
Well, I don't know if we have enough time really to talk about all of that. Put it into a few words, I don't know. There's nothing like winning, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like the only thing when you're an athlete. And clearly we knew we had our work cut out for us that day. It was a very intense, emotional game for us. The crowd was fantastic and the place was rocking, And we had confidence in that game. You know, we had a game plan, and we knew that if we had kept it close going into the third period, we were down a goal. We figured, hey, a 20-minute game, we got a shot. We were able to do that. But you can imagine, it was very tense. When Mike scored that goal with 10 minutes left, I mean, it was probably the longest 10 minutes in the history of time. But when it was finally over, it was a great feeling, a feeling of accomplishment and relief and exhilaration. You know, the fact that we had spent, you know, the years and years of our lives in the last prior year training and preparing for that moment, and actually to be able to come out on top was very, very much exhilarating and ratifying, so to speak, of who we were as people, who we were as a country, and who we were as a team. And it meant a lot. Our families are all there. You know, I could go on and on about it, but obviously it was pretty special. And we didn't have much time to dwell on it, though, because the next morning, Herbie, on that Saturday, put us through probably our most difficult practice of the year, and we knew we had to beat a very good Finland team on Sunday morning, or there was a chance we might not have gotten any medal. So that's the beauty of the Olympics. You know, it's one game. It's passionate. It's full of emotion. And, I love everything about the Olympics.
Jack, you look back at where we are now, the state of hockey in the United States. We just had Hockey Weekend in America, a national television contract, a lot of real good hockey cities now in the United States, more kids playing hockey in America, teams in the South. You know, just so much different now in 2011 as it was in 1980-81. Do you think this would have happened anyway, or do you think that it really got started with what you guys were able to do in 1980?
I don't know. A guy that used to work for me, he used to say, we're in the investment business, and he said, you know, Jack, everything seems to go back to 1980. He said, even if you had bought stocks in 1980, it was like the low of the bull market in February 1980, the low of the bear market, sorry, and it's been a raging bull for the last 30 years. But I don't know. I know that we participated in it. We played a big part in it. What we did, we crashed a lot of sort of glass ceilings for the American hockey player. We were part of that. We part of the growth of hockey around the United States definitely had to do with it. People wanted to pick up sticks and pick up skates, and be it rollerblade hockey or street hockey or getting on the ice. I mean, one of the greatest things that's happened in the United States has been the building of rinks all around the country. And you know, indoor hockey, you can play indoor hockey in Phoenix, Arizona, or you can play in Florida or Atlanta, Georgia, or anywhere around the South. And the growth of pro hockey and college hockey now, and then also the media. I mean, the media, if you think what happened back in 1980, there was no media, and now you can turn on TV any night and catch a college game, or there are high school games on TV locally. So it's just been a combination of a lot of things, but I definitely believe that what our team did, it just created an awful lot of opportunities for the American hockey player and as they moved into the National Hockey League. Our group never anticipated being National Hockey League players. We never really had a chance. It was a Canadian system, and I think we broke down those walls, and that next generation of American hockey players that came into being, the Pat LaFontaines and Chris Chelioses of the world and Keith Tkachuks and Jeremy Roenicks, definitely benefited from what we did, again, knocking those doors down. And then we had guys in our team, believe me, it wasn't really that much of a fluke, us doing all those Olympics. We had awfully good players. Neil Broughton, Davey Christian, Mike Ramsey, they played 16, 17, 18 years in the league. And Kenny Morrow won 4 Stanley Cups. You know, I played for about 10 years, and Mark Johnson. So we had good players. We had a good team, a great coach. And as it turned out, you know, I think as you pay it forward, so to speak, it really did make an impact as far as the younger American players that came along. And my hat's off to the guys that came after us, too, because they've really taken it to another level. And I couldn't be more proud of them all.
Jack, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack O'Callaghan. I remember being a young Devil fan when he joined the Devils at the end of his career, 87, 88. It was – and he was a decent player, but it was – hey, this is the guy that played on the 1980 U.S. Olympic team that won the gold medal. Yep. Even 8-9 years later, it was still very, very significant. It still resonated with a lot of people then.
I'll tell you what. You know, he was talking about it. I get emotional about
amazing.
It because, like, hockey's been such an important part of my life, and I can remember watching those games. I can remember looking at there was a poster of that U.S. Olympic team that was in Peck's Skate Shop in White Plains when I used to go there and get my skates done or try to get equipment. I was always a rink rat, and Buzzy Schneider. I love Buzzy Schneider. He's one of the players. And just Unbelievable.
Hey, it's
unbelievable.
Not just,
31
just,
years later, it seems like another, you know, it was another lifetime ago, but and it was kind of, but so good we had Jack on today and to talk about that. Always brings a smile to my face to talk about that.
A significant hockey moment, but probably the signature sports moment in the history of this country, and that's what really makes it work and still resonates even 31 years later. Kevin Allen, NHL Radio insider from USA Today, will join us next here on NHL Live.